So we pick up a story. The apostles are having a bit of problems. So we pick up the story in Acts chapter 5 from verse 17. Then the high priests and all high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. "Go, stand in the temple courts," he said, "and tell the people the full message of this new life." At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told, and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, "We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were puzzled, wondering what would come of this. Then someone came and said, "Look! The men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people." At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. Having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed them, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, but about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. I had the opportunity a couple of weeks ago now to attend a service in St. Albans, a rededication service. There was a Methodist church there that had some refurbishment work and so on. And because I'm trying to keep in and be in contact with other churches and clergy and so on, especially those that are in the tight circle of, within the city centre at St Albans, I was invited along and went and saw their building and so on, and discovered that that very day was Wesley Day. And the story was that this was a day when the two brothers had got together and something had happened. They'd both been praying and got impressed that they needed to start something new. But anyway, I'll let you go off and Google it and find out a little bit more information. But one of the two brothers, Charles Wesley, and there's lots of songs written by these brothers, but Charles was off on his ambitious intent to go and share the good news of Jesus with other people. And through these brothers is where the Methodist Church came from. But Charles Wesley, so the story goes, was in Leeds one day. The year was 1744. No, I wasn't there. And they were in an upstairs room. So maybe those that are listening upstairs, you were 100 people, so bigger than our upstairs room. 100 people packed in this room for a prayer meeting. It's a good activity, yeah? And partway through this prayer meeting, something happened. I believe that this is a solid floor here, so I don't think anyone needs to worry that this is going to happen for us today. But you imagine similar number of people, 100 people or so in a room, similar to what we've got here now, and suddenly there was a crack and a groan and an even bigger crack, and being an upstairs room, the whole floor just caved in. 100 people just falling down into the floor below. There were people crying and wailing, and the dust and debris being moved out of the way, and people in pain, people were injured, but fortunately no one lost their life. It was amazing. The story says that Charles Wesley, while he was injured, suddenly called out to everyone, "Fear not, the Lord is with us. Our lives are all safe." And then, strangely enough, he started singing a song. Are you familiar with these words? "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." We sing it as a doxology, don't we? This terrible event has just happened. This floor has collapsed, and fortunately no one's been died in it, but people are injured and people are in pain, and suddenly, while they were having this prayer meeting, crash, and Charles leads with a response. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. An unstoppable worshipper. An unstoppable worshipper will never stop adoring God. Now you might start thinking, well, that sounds very similar to one of these something else worshippers. The unquenchable worshipper, maybe. The unstoppable worshipper will never stop adoring God. In our long scripture reading, we have that story of the apostles. And what were they doing? Who can help me? What were they doing? Maybe we needed to read an even longer bit before the story. Who can work out what they were doing? Who were they talking about? Jesus. They were saying that Jesus, this Jesus is the source of forgiveness from God. And the Jewish leaders didn't like it at the time. They were quite upset and wanted to quieten them and put them in prison to try and shut them up. If you were let out of prison like these guys were, and if an angel of the Lord told you, now that you've been released from prison, I want you to go back into the temple and preach again what you've been preaching, what would you think? What would you do? Would you be as ready that second time, knowing what the potential outcome could be? These guys were unstoppable. They had this direction from God, this instruction, go back in the temple and preach it again. Tell people, remind people that there is good news because of Jesus. And they go in, and while they're brought before the Sanhedrin again, and did you notice the Sanhedrin did have them flogged at least? Although they agreed that they wouldn't do anything worse, they did have them flogged. And then what was their reaction? They've just been flogged for preaching about Jesus. And what did they do? Yes! Excellent! Bit weird, isn't it? But they found it a joyous thing that because of who they believed in, because of who they were talking about, that they should be treated in a bad way. How about us? Would we be so ready to be an unstoppable worshipper? What other stories can we find in Scripture? David and Goliath. Any of the younger ones, the not so younger ones? Have you heard the story of David and Goliath? What do you think? David and Goliath. There's Goliath, and he's challenging not just the army of Israel, but purely the existence of God of Israel. And by their response, the army's response, the Israelite army, they're kind of depicting that God is weak, that maybe God is non-existent. They stop going forward. They are not unstoppable worshippers. They're afraid. Along comes a young lad, David. And what does he say? What does he want to do? I'll do it. I'll go up against this giant. And it's interesting to note the words of David. He says that he will do this so that the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. David was unstoppable.
Although he was little and this guy was big, he was unstoppable because he wanted to make sure that the whole world would know that there is a God in Israel. What is stopping us from sharing our faith with other people? Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German theologian, and in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he says, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Now, there's a lot more to it than just picking that little quote out. But here was Dietrich Bonhoeffer exploring what it is to be a true follower of Jesus, to be a disciple. And that is to give up on self, even to the point of death. And that's what happened to him. He was speaking up against the actions of the Nazis during the Second World War, and shortly before the war finished, the Nazis hung him for what he was saying. And it's reported that at 39 years old, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when he was let out of the cell and taken to the point where he would be executed, he says, "This is the end, but for me, the beginning of life." An unstoppable worshipper will not stop worshipping even to the point of death. Now, we would maybe contend with the application of some of his theology there, but I'd kind of agree with him that the next thing that he will know will be the coming Jesus. Paul, even when he's in chains, writes to the people in Ephesus. And while he's in chains and he's in prison, and why is he in chains and in prison? For preaching about Jesus. He asks a request of the people in Ephesus. And he asks this request: would you pray for me? Would you pray that when challenged, I can speak boldly again for Jesus? Paul, you're in chains, you're in prison. Maybe it's time for you to learn to keep your mouth shut, and you won't get yourself in so much trouble. My wife told me when I started in pastoral ministry, "Nathan, you need to learn when to keep your mouth shut." I'm still trying to learn. But what about us? Could we be unstoppable worshippers like Paul? To say, I'm not bothered about the situation. I'm not bothered about what other people think of me, even if it seems to get me into trouble. I will be a Holy Spirit boldness type of unstoppable worshipper. Just to throw in one of my little phrases, you may have heard me say this before, that life isn't about the here and now. It's about the happily ever after. So why not be an unstoppable worshipper, even if it leads you into trouble? As I draw things to a close, I give you another illustration. Often referred to in various different ways, the events on the 20th of April 1999, yes, it was that long ago, the school was Columbine High School. The event was a couple of disgruntled young men with a very different perspective. Didn't like the idea of Christianity, and I'm sure there were various other things there as well, marched into the school that they went to or had gone to. They went in with the sole intent of killing as many Christians as possible. And as they walked in, there was this young lady, Rachel Scott. She was known to be a Christian. She was an unstoppable worshipper. She was happy to express her faith in Jesus. Everyone knew it, which is probably why they came after her. The story goes that they shot her in both legs. So barely able to move and get out the way, they then shot her again in her body. Laying there on the floor in what must have been pain, with being shot three times already, they make their way over to her. They put a gun to her and they ask her the question. Do you believe in God? I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question, really, isn't it? She's already expressed that she does. Everyone knows that she does. Do you believe in God? And her answer was, you know I do. And their response was, then go be with him. And they shot her through her head. She was an unstoppable worshipper par excellence. Even at the threat of death, nothing would stop her. Jesus, at the time of the Passover, shared a meal with his disciples. And then, I don't know if you've read it or noticed it before, it says that they all sang a song together. Anyone noticed that before? Before they left this upper room, it says they sang a song together. One of the references in Mark chapter 14. They sang a song together and then they went off to the Mount of Olives. There is a suggestion of which song that they might have sung, because apparently by that time there was a common tradition of singing a particular psalm. Psalm 136. Psalm 136 reads like this. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Some of us may know songs with these words. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. 26 times there is this little repeat after every line. His love, God's love, endures forever. Jesus was an unstoppable worshipper, singing this psalm to God the Father, knowing that he was about to walk out, that Judas would betray him, that he would be in agony and conversing with God the Father in the garden, that Peter would deny him, the disciples would run away, that he would be beaten, ridiculed, spat on, punched, and then crucified. But even Jesus, knowing what was about to happen, still sang the song. His love endures forever. As we consider the way that we express our faith in God, may we all choose to be unstoppable worshippers, even in facing maybe death. His love endures forever. So I will not stop adoring God. As we acknowledge you as our God and our Saviour, we thank you that you call us, not just once, but calling us daily, to make a commitment to be your worshippers. But Lord, we want to worship in lots of different ways, and one way we realize is we want to be an unstoppable worshipper, that no matter what happens in our life, even in the threat of death, we know that this is a spiritual gift referenced in Scripture, that martyrdom may be something that some of us are called to. Lord, if we are faced with that situation, may we be unstoppable in our worship and witness of you. In your name we pray. Amen.